April 29th, 2014.
You're going to take it for
Yeah. Roast?
Yeah. I have to use my iPhone.
Shalom Aleichem.
Shalom Aleichem. How good you are.
Baruch Hashem. Man, wer auf mich ausgesehen hat, zu singen Shalom Aleichem, ich komme von Lublin, geboren Lublin. Wenn er hier ist, ist gar nicht in den Gas. So hat er gekannt, so hat er gekannt, hat er geboren gesungen Shalom Aleichem. Das ist gedenkt, meine Kinder, die Jungen.
Amerika ist ein Sakana.
Mir sucht er, mir sucht jeden, der Fried. Wir alle, warum? I need to the missus, Havat Shalom Ben Avro. This is...
It's a long time ago we were learning Chulin. We haven't learned it in a long time. I don't know, so it seems to me a long time. I think we left off on Tess Amid Aleph, just to review a little bit. Maseches Chulin, Talmud Bavli, Dav Tess Amid Aleph, and Dav... Tess. Tess. On Chesom at base, we had two memories, Amrav Yudah Marav. In the middle of Chesom at base, the two dots, and it starts a new paragraph, Amrav Yudah Marav, Hatabach Tzorach Shlosha Sakinim, Shlosha Sakinim. The butcher has to have three different knives. Then you go, the Gemara says, a few lines later, 10 lines later, the Yomer Rav Yudah Marav, Nocha Memra, Atabach Tzor Shnei Kelim Shamayim, to wash off the flesh. And then you have, that's what we're up to now, the second line from the top of Tesam and Aleph, the Yomer Rav Yudah Marav, a third Memra. Tesam and Beis over to Tesam and Aleph. So on the second line on Tesam and Aleph, Rav Yudah Omer Rav says a third Memra. He says three things in the name of Rav. The third thing he says is that a Talmid Chacham, in addition to learning Torah, has to know another three talents. Talmid Chacham tzarich she'ilma gimel dvarim ksav. He has to know how to write. In the days of the Gemara, the Torah Shebaal Peh was being transmitted by Peh, so no one was writing. A lot of people were not writing. So it's possible he knows Kol HaTorah Kula. He knows how to read. He doesn't know how to write. It's possible he knows how to read. He doesn't know how to write. He never wrote a word. So if you have a din Torah, he has to sign on the bottom. Or sometimes he may have to take notes. If you have a din Torah, you have to write what Reuben said, what Shimon said, in order not to forget, in order to catch him on a lie, a contradiction or something. So Talmid Chacham has to know how to write. He has to know how to shecht. Basically, well, he has to know how to shecht. He can rely on someone else. He may get stuck somewhere where there's no one else. We recommend he should learn the umnes of shechita, and he should know how to perform a bris milah. Then the Gemara says, Rab Chananya bar Shama mishmei de Rav Amar. Another Talmud of Rav says another three things. Abkesha shal tefillin, abichas chasanim et tzitzis. A rabbi, a Talmud Chacham, should know how to tie a kesha shal tefillin. And he has to know how to say the brachas under a chuppah. Sometimes he may be called upon to say the brach, he has to know. He didn't have any sidurim in the Gemara. In times of the Gemara, it was forbidden to write down the nusach ha-tefillah because nusach ha-tefillah was part of the Torah Shebaal Peh. So it was prohibited to write. The Gemara says in Masechah Shabbos and the first daf in Perikol Kisrei, the Kisrei Brochus Kisurfei Torah. Whoever writes down Brochus, whoever writes down a Siddur, in case that Siddur will be in a Sreif on Shabbos, it won't be able to be Matzalit Mipnei Adleikos. So it'll be your fault. If you write a Siddur, it'll be your fault that the Brochus will be destroyed. So, because it's Torah Shebaal Peh. In the days of the Gemara, it was prohibited to write down Torah Shebaal Peh. You weren't allowed to be Matzal. If there will be a fire, you're not allowed to be matzal Torah Shebichsav. You're not allowed to be matzal Torah Shebaal Peh. It wasn't allowed to be used. So he's recommending, b'zman hazeh, you have a siddur. So what do you have to know? The brachas by foot, by heart. But b'zman ha-gemara, that the first one who made a siddur was the siddur of Amram Goen. And then they only made a siddur. They didn't make a machzah till years later. The Baal HaMor writes during his lifetime, and he was a young child. Baal HaMor writes in the end of Rosh Hashanah, they used to daven an yantav Baal Peh. So Yantav, they knew more or less, but Malchus Zuchayn HaShofetz was very hard, so they didn't know. He says that most of the people didn't know how to daven Malchus Zuchayn HaShofetz Baal Peh, so the Chazan had to learn how to say it Baal Peh. So the Baal HaMor writes, as a child, when he was growing up, when it came Musaf on Rosh Hashanah, everybody said, Shemoneh Esrei, we have seven brachas. The first three brachas, everybody knows, till HaMelech HaKadosh. The last three brachas from Ritzei till the end of Shemoneh Esrei, everybody knows. And then the middle bracha, They didn't say Malchus Chayne Shef is three separate brachas. They said Kedusha Sayyim. Then something approximately like Vahasienu, and they didn't say Malchus Chayne Shefes. They relied on the Chazaras Hashas, the Chazan. That was the Chazan's job, to memorize Bal Peh Malchus Chayne Shefes. And then he says, when he grew older, that's when they started writing Machzorim. And then everybody daven Tefillah Balachash. They daven the nine brachas of the Shemana Esrei of Musaf. No, Rav Soloveitchik said Rav Chaim can concentrate better if he was thinking Bal Peh rather than reading something B'Torah Ksav. He was a thinking person, so if he was going to, Rav Soloveitchik said that for weeks before Rosh Hashanah, Rav Chaim would memorize the Malchus Chanan Shofers because he'd be able to concentrate better on it if he knew it by heart as opposed to reading it from a machzor. That was his thing. Okay, but in the days of the Balamor, when he was growing up, he writes it wasn't permissible. They didn't have any machzor. So Rav Chananya Bar Shalmiya quotes in the name of Rav an additional thing, three things that the Talmud Chacham should be an expert on. He should know how to say the brachas on the chuppah. He should know how to tie tzitzis. Can always rely on someone else to tie the tzitzis for you. You have to know how to tie the kesher shatfil. So Gemara be'idach, and how come the first one? Amar Rav Yudah Marav, why does he only say three things? He has to know Shechita, he has to know Mila, and he has to know Ksav, how to write. What about these three? So he says, nah, there's not a problem. Hani Shechichon. You'll always find someone who knows how to say the Bichas Nisuin. You can always find someone who knows how to tie the Tzitzit. There's always someone who knows how to tie the film. The rabbi doesn't have to learn that. Even if you have a small community at 20 Balabatim, there'll always be someone who knows this. You don't require that the rabbi should learn that. So here there's a Tosfos has I don't remember if we finished it. The top Tosfos has a Machlekes Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Eliyahu. When it says in the Chumash, Ukshartam Laos Al Yodecha, how do you translate? Ukshartam means you have to tie a knot. You have to tie the Kesher Shel Tefillin every day. You untie it and you tie it again. Ukshartam means that you tighten it. The Sofer makes a Kesher. When you bar mitzvah, when you buy the Tefillin, he makes a Kesher. When you put it on, you tighten it. So in the Chumash, in Biblical Hebrew, Kemen Zogen Nazayim, Kemen Zogen Fakert, you can translate Ukshar Tom Lios Al Yadecho to tie a Kesher, or you can translate Hiduk to tighten it. So in the Chumash, you can't prove anything. But the Gemara in Menachos, Tosfos quotes the Gemara, Menachos says, when do you recite the Bracha on the Shal Yad? So the Gemara says, all birchas hamitzvah have to be recited immediately prior to performing the mitzvah. Oivra doesn't say koidem asi yosem, it says oivra. So oivra comes to the exclusion of oivra the oivra. If you're going to say the bracha way too far in advance, then the bracha is not mitzvah to the mitzvah. You have to say immediately before performing the mitzvah. So let's say the person is taking the tefillin out of the tefillin zak, and he didn't even take off the plastic cover, and he didn't even unwrap it, didn't unroll it. So that's called over the over. So the Gemara says, when is the proper time? You should put the shalyad on your arm, and tefillin meimasai mevorach aleim. That's the fourth line in the top Tosfos. After it says, menachas daf lamenei. So the quote of Brisa, tefillin meimasai mevorach aleim, nishas hanocha, after placing it on your arm, before you do the kshir. So if the word in Chumash Ukshartam Leos Al Yadecha means Hiduk, so in Biblical Hebrew, okay, that's the Rabban Shalom's style of Hebrew. Torah has a different style of Hebrew. Loshen Torah Luchud V'loshen Chachamim Luchud. But in Talmudic Hebrew, kshira means to tie a knot. In Talmudic Hebrew, if you want to say till you tighten, you should say Mishas Anoche Ad Shas Hiduk. So from the fact that the Gemara, so the fact that the Chumash says Ukshartam doesn't necessarily prove anything. It could mean like this, it could mean like that. But the fact that in the Loshon of the Talmud it says, Ishas Hanocha Vatshas Kshira, so this led the Rabbein Eliyahu to believe that you have to tie the Kesher every day. So I think I mentioned this Seder Hadiris is a history book by a contemporary of the Shagas Aryeh from the 1700s. So every so often he'll quote something from the very unreliable Sefer HaKabbalah that was written by the Ravid. There were three Ravids. Two of them knew how to learn, and the third one wrote what he considered a history book. The two who knew how to learn was the father-in-law and the son-in-law. They were both called the Ravid. So the father-in-law was the author of the Eshkol, Sefer Eshkol. He was the rabbi in Narbona. He was the Abbezin of Narbona. He was Avram ben Yitzchok, I think. But he was called Ravid Rosh HaBezdin of Narbona. And his daughter married, one of his daughters married the Ravid, the famous Ravid, who learned the Harusa with the Balamor, and the one who wrote the Hasogas on the Rambam. And then the third one wrote this supposed history book that's called Sefer HaKabbalah. So the Seder HaDeres quotes this in the Sefer HaKabbalah, that when they had this dispute, Rabbi Natan, Rabbi Leo, so they made up, they're going to a big mekubal in Paris, and they're going to have the mekubal bring Moshe Rabbeinu back from the dead, and they're going to ask Moshe Rabbeinu, when you wrote in the Chumash, when the Rabbeinu Shalom dictated to you to write in the Chumash word for word, letter for letter, Kshatim Elos Al Yadecha, what did you think Pshat is Kshatim Elos Al Yadecha? So they went to Paris, as I state in Sefer HaKabbalah, and they brought Moshe Rabbeinu back from the dead, and Moshe Rabbeinu said, Kshatim means you have to tie the knot every day. So Rabbi Natan said, the deal is off. They made up in advance, whatever Moshe Rabbeinu says, we're going to listen. Then Moshe Rabbeinu said against Rabbi Natan, so he said, let him go back to the dead. We don't listen to him. He's wrong. So that's where Rabbi Soloveitchik used to say that his grandfather, Rabbi Chaim, said that that's apikursis. You're not allowed to say that. If Moshe Rabbeinu tells you what pshat is, you can't argue with Moshe Rabbeinu. You can argue with your Rebbe. You can argue with Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. You can argue with Rabbi Natan. You can't argue with Moshe Rabbeinu. It's called Torah's Moshe. The Navi refers to the Torah. Torah's Moshe, he's the Balabas. He can argue with Yeshua ben Nun. That you have a right to argue with. You can't argue with Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what he said.
You're allowed to summon somebody from the dead for such purposes?
Ich weiß. The whole story is under question. Yeah. They're based. Anyway, so this was the Machlekes. So the Rabbeinu Tam, Tainis, if the Rabbeinu Leo is right, that you have to untie the Kesher Shel Tefillin every single day and tie it again, so what do you mean a machlekes where the Talmud Chacham has to know how to tie a knot or not? Every child is bar mitzvah. Everybody has to tie the knot every day. Otherwise, you're not yotze the mitzvah. You have to make the kasher. So it's a beferish raya that the knot is made once when you become bar mitzvah and you leave it like that. You don't untie every day. That's his tie. Then he has the end of the tesis, the last few lines. He quotes from Erev and Daf Tzadik Zion. The last parak in Erevin, we learned the last parak in Erevin, it's 2 years ago. The name of the last parak in Erevin is Hamoitzei Tefillin. A person is walking in the street and he sees somebody threw a pair of tefillin in the garbage and the garbage collectors are going to come. Huh?
On Shabbos.
Someone's walking in the street on Shabbos and he sees there's a pair of tefillin in the garbage and the garbage collector is going to take it and they're going to incinerate it, they're going to burn it. So he wants to be matzal l'tfilin, so there's no erev. He's not allowed to carry there. So even for the purpose of hatzolas kisvei kodesh, he's not allowed to be mechal shabbos. So the Mishnah says, let him put on the tefillin, let him put on shal yad and shal rosh, and one opinion in the Tanaim is allowed to put on two shal yads and two shal roshes. One says, no, only one shal yad at a time, one shal rosh, and if there's more than one pair of tefillin, he should run quickly to a shul or to a home, take off the tefillin, run back and wear another pair of tefillin to save all the tefillin. So then the Gemara has a discussion. Is this only if the tefillin are yeshanais, the old pairs of tefillin? The last few lines in Taisa say, yeshanais, if it's an old pair of tefillin, machnisan zug zug. You wear a shalyad and shalrosh at a time, one pair at a time. If it's chadoshes, if it's brand new tefillin, loy, you're not allowed to. What? Why not? What's the difference between Yeshanas and Chadashas? Oh, so Meforish, the Gemara explains, the Gemara has more than one interpretation. So one interpretation is, if it's old, worn tefillin, so you know it's a pair of tefillin. If it's brand new, maybe it's a good luck charm. Maybe someone made a good luck charm just for mazel, and it doesn't have to do just tefillin. But Taisus quotes a different interpretation in the Gemara. The Gemara, Meforish, the Gemara, Chadashas, Kari, what does mean Chadashas? Shenim B'kusha doesn't have a kesher. So you're only allowed to wear the shayad and the shalrosh if it has a kesher. So that's wearing it, that's not called carrying. Let's say a guy's going to put a basket on his head, he's going to walk in the street. That's carrying. That's not wearing. But if you wear tefillin the way you normally wear it in the weekdays, then tefillin is a takshit, like a beggar. And a takshit is not a violation of carrying. It's not a violation of hoitzah. So the Gemara says, if Yab Chadosh is brand new pair of tefillin, then you're not allowed to make the kesher on Shabbos. So what are you going to do? Just make an imitation kesher? So that's how it's so. That's not, you're not wearing it in a normal way. So Frektaisu is, but according to Rabbeinu Leo, that you have to untie the kesher every day and tie it again. So it's not a kesher shal kayom. A kesher shal kayom means you plan to leave it for a long, long time. Half a year, a couple of years, indefinitely. But if you're just tying it for tomorrow, So then you shouldn't be a Nisa.
If you don't have a kesher, so I understand that you're not wearing in a normal way, but you're also not carrying in a normal way. So wouldn't it make it not Hatzame Daraisa, meaning even Hatzame Darabanan, you still would not be allowed to?
Could be. Could be. It's a good point. I don't remember the discussion. There could be. L'chair, it should be Hatzua Kalachayad, should only be Midrabban. So it sounds like you're not even allowed to violate Hatzua Midrabban. That's what it sounds like. So that's the Rabbein Tam's argument. The im ha'yitzarach likshar lahate b'chol yom, if the din would require that every day you have to untie the kesher and tie it anew, and that's what it means. Ukshartam. So in Cain, the have a kesher shalkaim. So what's that there? What's that there? Should be hetagom, should be mutam. So on the second kasha of Taisvis, the Mordechai Ber and Erevin gives an answer that the latest Svarim discuss. But when does the halacha require a kesher shel kayama if it's any other kesher? Let's say a woman makes a knot on someone makes a knot on a shoelace, a person makes a knot on a tie, a woman makes a knot on her dress, on the design on the dress. So then, if you don't plan to leave it indefinitely, you don't plan to leave it for a long time, that's called kesher shein shel kayama, and it's not called a kesher. But on tefillin, the halacha, if the Rabbein Elio is right, the halacha says you have to untie and tie it every day. The Chumash says, "Kshartam, you need a kesher. Kesher shall tefillin halacha al Moshe Mitzinai. That is the din. You need a kesher. So the halacha says it is a kesher for the purposes of tefillin. So that's what the Mordechai comes to defend the Rabbein Elio. So he says, "Miguda habi kesher legabi tefillin, habi kesher legabi Shabbos. Since for hilchas tefillin, when you tie the knot, you have to untie it tomorrow and tie it again. You can't say every day you have to put on a different pair of tefillin and plan to leave the kesher there for a couple of years." He has to have 1,000 pairs of tefillin, and each pair of tefillin makes the kesher tali for 3 years. So, since in Hilchas tefillin it is a kesher, then so Hilchas Malach HaShabbos will also be considered a kesher. That's how Rabbi Mordechai suggests an answer on Rabbein Elio. So I think last time we mentioned, I'm not sure, the Keren Oira, Rabbi Soloveitchik said this over when we learned Menachas, when we learned about tefillin. So the Keren Oira is a sefer on Menachas. Keren Oira gives a suggestion that they all misunderstood the Rabbein Elio. He didn't mean that you tie and you untie the kesher shal yada, the kesher shal rosh, every single day. No, you make the kesher once in a lifetime. That's all, you make the kesher. But when it says, "Kshartam lo'os al yadecha," it's not sufficient that you just do hiduk. You have to tighten it and then make a knot on the ritzua against the other side of the ritzua. That's what it means. The kesher that you make, the Gemara Menachos is talking about, Gemara Menachos says you have a pair of tefillin, doesn't have any kesher at all. So if you're going to make a kesher, that kesher is going to stay there for the next 25 years. You're not going to untie the kesher tomorrow morning. Rabbein Elio said on the shal yad, on the shal rosh, you don't do anything. He only said it, Rabbein Elio only said it on shal yad. That's how the Chumash is. Ukshartam lo sal yadecha, behayulet tetoviz beinanecha. Ukshartam only goes on shal yad. And shal yad, you have to put on the bayis with the kesher. And then when you do the hiduk, it's not enough just to do hiduk. It's going to fall apart. So we wrap it over like this. Still going to fall apart. So we wrap it over and then we tuck it under. So Rabbein Elio says it's not sufficient to tuck it under. You have to wrap it and tie the ritzua against the other ritzua. So for that, you don't have to be so learned. That you don't have to be so knowledgeable. The Gemara says here, the second Amora, Rab Chananya Bar Shalmiya says in the name of Rav, Talmud Chochem, who goes for smicha, has to have some extra courses. So in addition to learning, he has to know how to tie a kesher. And then next Madama says, well, you have to know how to tie a kesher. In every village, there'll be someone who knows how to tie a kesher. So Tosafos says, but the Rabbein Elio says you have to tie the kesher every day. No, he wasn't talking about the yud and the dalet. He was talking when you, the yud and the dalet, you tie once and you leave it forever, for 100 years. He was talking when you put on the ritzu, it's not enough just to wrap it and to tuck it under. You have to tie a knot. That you don't have to go to school to figure out how to tie a knot. You take a little child, tell him make a knot, they'll make a knot.
So he says the Talmud Chacham has to know how to do that. Anybody knows how to do that. So what's the mind?
No. The first one says Talmud Chacham has to know how to make a dalid, has to make a yud. The next one says, what does he have to know? Every village will have someone who knows how to do that. So Taisa says, doesn't this Gemara contradict Rabbein Elio? He says, every child has to make the kesher. No, Rabbein Elio never said you have to make the dalid and the yud. That's a misunderstanding of what he said. He said, when you put the tefillin on, you have to, the hiduk should consist of a knot. You have to tie the ritzua against the ritzua, that it should hold down, it shouldn't fall off. Not enough to wrap it around and tuck it under. You have to make a knot, that is your hope. So that knot you don't have to go to school for. Everybody knows how to make a knot. That's what the Karen Ira claims. The Pashtas says they were facing each other. They were talking to each other. It's hard to believe. But that's Rabbein Elio, that's the Karen Ira's time. He says Rabbein Elio never meant that. He meant that you just, the Hiduk should consist of a Kesher. So this is the famous Gemara. So the first three members were Amar Rab Yudah Amar Rav. Rab Yudah was a student of both Rav and Shmuel. I already forgot when one of them died before the other. They were Chaverim, they both learned by Rab Yudah Nasi in Eretz Yisod, and they both went to Bavel, and each one established yeshiva in a different city. So this Rab Yudah was a Talmud of one of them, I forgot who, and after he passed away, then he went to learn in the other city by the other one. Sometimes he would tell over whoever it was, he told over Shmuel, but Rab said it, he would agree, he would disagree. So now the next Gemara is the Amar Rab Yudah Amar Shmuel. He quoted three things, Amar Rab Yudah Amar Rab, three things, now quotes Amar Rab Yudah Amar Shmuel, also when they get to Shechita. Kol Tabach. How could you have a machlaikas? A pella? I don't know. If you say like the Karen Irva said, then it's not so bad. Because everybody tucks under the Ritzuah. So Rabbein Elio said, not enough to tuck it under. You have to make a double knot. Okay, so not so bad. I think some people probably do make a double knot. I never do. I wrap the tefillin and then I tuck under the Ritzuah. So if you just take another twist and make a knot, if you say it like that. But if you say that the way the Rabbein Tam understood it, you have to untie the knot every day, tie it again. So what did your father do? What did your grandfather? He never saw anybody put on tefillin before. I don't know. So tell her. How can you say that was a machlekes? Also a pella. Machlekes Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam, how you put the four parshias in, Shema v'hoyom Shema Kadesh v'hoyom Kaviyacha. How could there be a machlekes? Why don't they open up an old pair of tefillin and see the way it was? The Gemara says he has to be in a certain order. If it's in the wrong order, it's possible. So look at an old pair of tefillin. You'll find out what it was. So that at least, some give a suggestion. In the Torah Shlema, by Rabbi Mendel Kasha, that has all the footnotes there. So his grandchildren thought that he wrote the Chumash, because it says on the first page, Torah Shlema, written by Mendel Kasha. So he wrote the comments on the bottom of the page. He didn't write the text of the Chumash. So in the Torah Shlema, he has a comment. He suggests that maybe that Gemara Menachas that says that the Seder is Miyakev, maybe that was a Chiddush of the Tanoim. Maybe Minatar the Seder is not Miyakev. So as long as they have the Dalet Parshias, it's good. So in earlier years, they probably had half of the tefillin were like this, half of the tefillin were like that. So you can't say, look at the old tefillin and see what it was. Half of them were like, that's what they quote in the Kevi Yecheskel HaNavi. Where's Kevi Yecheskel HaNavi? Somewhere near Baghdad. The Achroidim quote, in Kevi Yecheskel HaNavi, they found tefillin there Rabbein Tam. See, Yecheskel was before the days of the Tanoim. So if the Fal Tilnder Rabbein Tam does not show that that's the oldest tradition, so the others said, no, the reason why it was buried in the Kevah, because it was puzzle. So that's why they were going into it. That's the Beis Yosef with the Prisha on the bottom of the tour. They have a whole discussion. Whenever you make an archaeological discovery, so let's say they found old mikvahs. So the mikvahs have to have mem soh. Has to be amalama burum gimalamas. Chazanish had a bigger shir ama than anybody else. So they said, they found these old mikvahs, so it's a b'feir shirai against the Chazanish. The Chazanish said, who says that they were kosher mikvahs? Maybe those mikvahs were used by Isiim, those who didn't listen to the Chachamim. Maybe they didn't believe in Memso. Maybe they didn't believe in Amal Amarum Galamas. Whenever you make an archaeological proof for something, I don't know how reliable is it? Who says that that's reliable? Yeah, we don't know how reliable any archaeology is. Yeah, you gotta know. Yeah. The Gemara has a machlekes in the beginning of Sukkah. The Gemara has a machlekes on the tzitz that it said the Kohen Gadol wore a plate of gold that said Kodesh LaHashem, Lamed Yudke Bavke Kodesh LaHashem. So the Gemara has a machlekes hatanaim. Tanaim who lived after the Churban Abayis. They never saw a Beis Hamikdash. They never saw a tzitz. They had a machlekes how it's supposed to be written. So one Tana says it's all written on one line, Kodesh LaHashem. The other Tana says, no, it says Kodesh, Lamed, and then above that, on the end of the line, it says Yud Kei Vav Kei. Yud Kei Vav Kei should be at the end of the upper line, and Kodesh Lamed should be on the lower line, in the beginning of the line, a funny construction. So it's a machlokes ha'tanaim. So the Gemara says one Tana was in Rome, and they allowed him to enter into the Vatican treasure house, and he found the old tzitz. He says he found the pareches, and it had stains of blood on it, because the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur, sometimes you're not supposed to sprinkle the blood on the pareches, supposed to sprinkle on the floor in front of the pareches, but sometimes he wasn't careful, and it would make a stain on the pareches. And the Gemara says in the end of Me'ilah, they showed him he saved the emperor's daughter's life. The Gemara tells the whole story. So they said, whatever you want, go into the Vatican treasury and take whatever you want. So when he was roaming around there, so he saw the pareches and he saw the tzitz, and it was all on one line. Kodesh Lashem was on one line. Archaeological evidence. So the Ramah Paskins, Kodesh Lashem, two lines. So the Kesem Mishnah says, but you have archaeological evidence that it was only one line. So he says, the Kesem Mishnah says, every Kohen Gadol had a different size forehead. So the tzitz had to be made to fit every Kohen Gadol. So there must have been many tzitzes. Must have been 80. How many Kohanim Gadolim were there during the period of the Baisheni alone? I think there were 80 or so Kohanim Gadolim. 300. 300, I forgot already, yeah. So everyone, so there are many tzitzes. So they found one tzitz. What about the other 299 tzitzes? Maybe they were there. He says it doesn't prove anything. Maybe at one time there were, in the days of the Baisheni, there were Tanaim who held like that, that it's in one line. That maybe the other majority of the tzitzin were made the correct way, that it was on two different lines. Archaeology is sometimes tricky. You can't always know that that it's a conclusive proof. Anyway, so now the Gemara has a new, yeah. So that's Rabbi Mendel Kashi's suggestion. How can there be a machlekes Rabbi in a time of Rashi, but to say that parshas, why don't they look at all tefillin? So the answer that he suggested is no, they found in Kevi Yecheskel, no, they had both pairs of tefillin before the days of the Tanaim. Minatar, it's good in any order, this order or that order. And when the Gemara says it has to be this order, otherwise possible, maybe that's only a psul de Rabbanon that was introduced by the Tanoi Mikana Lahabo. So you can't prove anything for what was in the earlier generations. And it's Machleg is how to read the Gemara, which is the correct way to arrange the Seder HaParshiyot. Yeah, it is strange. Avad is strange. That's what the Rishonim asked, the Goyim asked by Tkiya Shofar. The Gemara says there's a machlokes ha'tanaim, you have to blow tkiya, trua, tkiya three times. So what's the definition of a trua? So one opinion is that it's what we call trua, tu, 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 tu. One opinion is that it's what we call shvarim, tu, 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 tu. One opinion is that it's shvarim trua. So we have to do all the logical possibilities that we blow all three times. So the Goyim asks, how can you have a machlokes? What did they do last year? Nobody is alive who remembers what they did last year. How can you have a machlokes on a mitzvah that you perform every year? So that's what led the Rav Haigoin to come up with his chiddush that mikra din yoytze, all three are acceptable. Whether you blow trua, you blow shvarim trua, everything is good. But the Balabatim didn't understand that. The Balabatim thought we're the only ones who are yoytze, and the other communities they're not yoytze because they're doing it wrong. And they thought we're the only ones who are yoytze, the other guys are not being yoytze. So the Chachamim didn't want that each community should think poorly of the other community. So made a takana, everybody should do everything. And everybody's equal. But it really never was a suffix, never was a machlekes, never was a suffix. All the forms of true are acceptable. Yeah, but most of the Rishonim don't agree. Taisus doesn't agree with the, and the Ramban also doesn't agree. That's Rav Haigoin suggests like that. The Stakat Pella, how can you have a machlekes and a mitzvah that you do every year? Nobody is alive who remembered how we did it last year. Yeah. When we learned Erevin also on Daf Mem, the Gemara in Erevin had a suffix. When you say Kiddush on Rosh Hashanah, do you say Shechiyonu or not? There's nobody who remembers last Rosh Hashanah. Okay, they had no machzer. The days of the Goyim, they still had no machzer till the days of the Balamor. But there's nobody, mature adult, who remembers whether we said Shechiyonu last year on Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara asked that question. The Gemara says, no, if you want to say Shechiyonu for sure, we know that last year we said Shechiyonu Rosh Hashanah. A rishus, for sure, it's okay. We want to know, is it a chayva? Are you obligated to say Shechiyonu on Rosh Hashanah? So from the fact that everybody remembers that last year, for many years, we did say Shechiyonu, doesn't prove that you're mechuyev to. Maybe it's only optional. Maybe it's only a rishus. So there, the Gemara raises the issue and explains it.
Rosh Hashanah is different from tefillin. Remember, everybody, this one, 10 people tell you they said it. 3 people tell you, no, they didn't say it.
Yeah.
But the tefillin, you develop it
every day, yeah. In Yiddish, there's an expression, the year is very long and the memory is very short. Yeah, how do you know that you're remembering right from last Rosh Hashanah? Yeah. Yeah, this is a big problem. Yeah, big problem. So let's see again. So Rab Yudah quoted three members in the name of Rav. All over Shas, he quotes Amar Rav Yudah, Rav, Amar Rav Yudah, Shmuel, very often. So now he quotes a member from Shmuel ben Agir to Shechita. Kol tabach ha-sheichet, she'eni yedeh hilcha Shechita, if the Sheichet doesn't know how to rattle off all the dinim of Shechita, also lechol mishchitasa. You're not allowed to eat? Maybe he thinks that he did a good job, and he doesn't know hilcha Shechita. Maybe he's any yedeh, she'eni yedeh, doesn't even know. So you have to know for sure that he knows hilcha Shechita. And what are the hilcha Shechita? Ve'eloi hein hilcha Shechita. This is all halacha l'moshe m'sinai. So there are chomish hilcha Shechita. Shehi adrosa chalada hagroma ve'ikur. What are these? So these are, Rashi goes through all the Mishnayos and explains what it is. Shehiya means like this. Rashi quotes the Mishnah later. The Shechet starts to shecht and his pants fall down. So he doesn't want to stand there in the slaughterhouse without his trousers. Or his talus falls off. He's wearing a shirt, whatever. His jacket falls off. So he feels uncomfortable. So he takes the knife out, he puts it down, then he pulls up his pants, he puts on a suspender, his tie and a jacket, and then he continues to shecht. And he paused in the middle for 5 minutes. So that'll sometimes be a psul of shir. It's a whole discussion. How long do you have to pause between the middle, the beginning, and the end of the shechita? If you pause just for a split second, that's okay. But that's the psul of shehiya. The din of shehiya means that pashab shat and shehiya, we'll have to learn a little further, it's not exactly so pashab. Pashab shat is, let's say a person is saying kriyashma, and he pauses in the middle, has a hatzalah call. Davening shmones, he has a hatzalah call, and he runs to the hasman, he comes back, and he wants to finish the Shemana Esrei, but it's an hour and a half since he left off in the middle of the Shemana Esrei. So can you be mitzarf the second half with the first half if there was a pause of an hour and a half in between? So the Gemara has a whole sugya in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. If shohok de'ligmar skula, if you had a pause in the middle of Kriyashma, in the middle of Tkiyas, in the middle of Mikra Megillah, in the middle of Kriyashma, in the middle of Duchening, Mishnah Berurah talks middle of Duchening, the Kadim starts singing away, Agan Sending, and everybody sang the Rabban Shlomo Tfilas. He could have said all the three psukim, V'recha Hashem Yishmeracha, Yer Hashem Panem Elecha, V'chanecha, etc. He could have said all the three psukim in the time that he's pausing. So isn't that a problem of Shoka Deleig Marskula? So the Mishnah Berurah says, if the Kohanim sing a Nigin, then it's better. Because the Nigin is part of the Duchening. But if the Kohanim don't say a Nigin, they just stand there, they don't say a Nigin, and they're pausing, so the Mishnah Berurah considers that a problem of L'chatchila, for sure you're not allowed to be Shoka Deleig Marskula. Shok de ligmas kula doesn't mean, let's say, Hashem Yishmach Yaparu, Yisra Hashem Paralach, Yasem Lecha, and then he waits till he says Shalom. So, Shok de ligmas kula doesn't mean the amount of time that it would take to say the word Shalom. Shok de ligmas kula means the amount of time that it would take to say from the beginning of the Duchening to the end, from the beginning of the Hoshman Esu to the end. Let's say the fellow's up to Sim Shalom and the Shman Esu, then he runs for Hatzalah call and he comes back. So, or he pauses for something else. So, Shok De'elik Maskula doesn't mean could he have recited the whole Sim Sholem in that amount of time. No, could he recite the whole Shemana Esrei from the beginning to the end? Or let's say Mikra Megillah, he's next to the last Pasuk, and he pauses for 3 minutes. He can't say the whole Megillah in 3 minutes. Shok De'elik Maskula means, doesn't depend where you're up to. It means can you finish the whole Megillah from the beginning to the end at a normal speed, at an average Adam Beinani speed at that time. So the Pashtus in Shehiya, in Shechita, is also such a din. If you pause in the middle of the Shechita, so the beginning and the end, I'm not mitzvah from Yachad. So he did a half a Shechita and half a Shechita, so it's not acceptable. We'll have to see more Gemaras that is not exactly so posh. Maybe we'll discuss it tonight. But that's a din of Shehiya. Then there's a din of Drosa. So Drosa is like this. Let's say you have a big cow, has a big fat neck, and you have a big sharp knife. And so the din is you have to fiddle back and forth. If you're just going to fiddle back and forth, you're not going to push down. It's not going to cut anything. So you have to push down and fiddle back and forth at the same time. So what if he does? Instead of fiddling back and forth, he just pushes down with pressure. In such a sharp knife, he succeeds in cutting off the head. He detaches the head just by cutting down. So that's called drosa. Lidros means to press down. To press down. So if he shechts with pressure, with that fiddling back and forth, so that's an avela. That's called drosa. Shia drosa. What is chalode? So Rashi says chulda is a weasel.
Is it the motion of pressing down, or it's only chayev if the head comes off?
If he presses down, no, the head doesn't have to come off. No, he don't. If he shechita, it's irrelevant whether you do cut off the head or not. Just have to cut the windpipe and the food pipe. The corn and the veshit by the heman. By an oaf, you have to cut either A or B, either one or the other. By maybe you have to cut both. So if one is cutting the corn and the veshit, the corn is the windpipe and the veshit is the esophagus, the food pipe. If he's pushing down with that fiddling back and forth, so that's an avela, that's a psul. Chalod de Rashi says, Miloshen Chulda. Chulda is a weasel that runs in between things, like a mouse. It runs in between things. It squeezes its way in between. So Chalod means like this. He's supposed to take the knife, open like this, and start cutting the neck like this. You don't cut this way because then you're going to cut the spine first. You make it into an avela first. You have to cut over here. So what if instead of taking the knife and cutting over here, he sticks the knife in between the kona and the veshet, and then he cuts out, and then he cuts in. Or he sticks the knife in between the kona and the veshet, and he cuts one or the other. So that's called a chalode. The knife was stuck in, he wasn't cutting from an exposed area. The Gemara has a discussion later about the details. Alpidin, shchita means that you cut with the sharp knife, you cut the kona and the veshet, the windpipe and the food pipe. The skin alpidin doesn't have to be cut. So let's say he pulls the skin out and he sticks the knife in between the skin. What's first? The windpipe is probably out, further outside. I'm not sure. And the food pipe is further in. Windpipe is out. So let's say he sticks the knife in between the skin and the windpipe and then he cuts. So is that called chalode? Maybe I should ignore the skin. The skin doesn't count. Or maybe the skin does count, but what if the animal is in the middle of the spheres? The animal has a big beard. So let's say he sticks the knife in the middle of the beard. He sticks the knife in the middle of the fuzzy wool. And then he shechts the wool for sure. That's part of the animal. It is part of the animal. What if he puts a scarf around the neck and he sticks the knife in between the scarf and the neck? But the scarf is for sure, that's not part of the animal. All of this is fakus in the Gemara. How far do you go with this din of chalod? But the original chalod, the lochalod, says he sticks the knife in between the kon and the veshet, and then he cuts one way or the other. So that since the knife was like a weasel, it got stuck in between, in the middle of the simonim, so that's a psul shchita. Shchita has to start from an exposed location. Yeah. Hagromeh, we're going to have to learn later. Poshim Shat HaGrama is like this. Let's say people discuss a giraffe is a kosher animal. That's Malager Mafis Parso. So the question is, can you shech the giraffe? So why can't you shech the giraffe? Some people say, no, you can't shech the giraffe because we're not sure where you shech. We're not so sure. You can shech wherever you want. You can shech, there's a certain point, you can't shech higher than a certain point. If you go too high, then you're shechting in the head. And you go too low, you're shechting in the belly. But a giraffe, anywhere you want. You can. You have 3 feet. You can shech wherever you want. It's perfect. Hagrama means if you shech too high or too low, so that's a psul hagrama. Right. And then ikur is unclear what it is. The chomish ulcha shchita, none of these are written in chomish. The Gemara says these are all halachas l'moshim is Sinai. So ikur, Rashi says like this. Rashi quotes from a Mishnah. It says on the side of the Rashi, Daflam and Beis Amid Aleph, on the right margin, has in brackets, Daflam and Beis Amid Aleph. So on that line, Rashi quotes, Shochat HaVeshet Upasak HaGargeres. He takes a knife and he cuts, let's say, the windpipe. The Veshet is Paker, the food pipe, let's say. He cuts one of them and then he puts the knife down and he takes his hands and he rips the other one. So that Rashi says that's ikur. Ikur is if you have to shech the kona and the veshet in an animal, in a behemah or a chaya, you have to shech both simonim, kona and the veshet. So if he shechted one of them and the other one he broke with his hands, so that's a psul shchita. So Taisus says that's ridiculous. He didn't shecht it. If you take an animal and you break the neck, so that's halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. It says v'shochat has ben haboker. You need shchita. That's by definition not a shchita if you break it with your hands. So Taisus thinks that that's not what Rashi meant, even though that's what Rashi quoted from the Mishnah. Rashi quotes the Mishnah, Shochat HaVeshet the Pasa Kagageris. He broke it with his hands. So Taisus says, no, Rashi meant to say, Yeshecht the veshet, if you shech with the second peguma, the Gemara says later, let's say you have a saw, and the saw has a jagged edge, goes up and down. So you shech with the saw, so the Gemara says that's a psul shechita. The saken has to be smooth on the bottom. It has to be very smooth, and it shouldn't have any nicks. So you have to check it with your fingernail. So you go, if there'll be chagiris hatziporin, if the fingernail would get caught in an indentation on the knife, so that's called a pegima in the saken, so that's not a good shechita. So Tosis interprets within Rashi that he doesn't mean that ikur means you break the simonim. You break the simonim by definition and not shechita. That's not halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. What Rashi meant to say with ikur was if you shech with the saken pegum. Tosis doesn't like that either. They think the Mishnah says if you shech with the saken peguma, it's like chonek, it's like choking the animal. The Mishnah says you have to kill the animal by using a sharp knife. And if the knife goes up and down, has pegimas in it, so that's by definition you didn't know shechita. You don't need a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. Taisus is not happy with this pshat of Rashi. They think that shechting with the saken peguma is not called shechita at all. So what does it mean, ikur? You see the beginning of the Taisus, kulu tanini. The Gemara asks, what did Rabbi Yudah say, the name of Shmuel, the Chomish El Cheshchita? It's all Mishnayis. So you don't need Shmuel to discover America, but he rediscovered the din in the Mishnayis. Everything is in Mishnah, so Gemara is going to explain what the Chiddush of Shmuel was. So Rashi says, Kulu Tanini, all of Chomish El Cheshchita are black and white in the Mishnayis, and Rashi documents it. Rashi quotes every Mishnah, but the Shia drasa chalada grama v'ikur. So Tosfos quotes Pirish Bekunches, Rashi explains Ikur, based on the Mishnah, Shochet HaSavesha, the Pasuk HaSagageris. He shechted with the knife one simen, and the other simen he broke with his hands. But Tema, it doesn't make any sense. Tema the Shach Lehil Cheshchita, the Zep Psalm Hanei Shalosh Chatai. Ledom in the Shach Lehil Cheshchita, the other halachas are, he did a Shechita with Psul. But here he didn't do Shechita at all, just broke the windpipe with his hand. So Tema says, no, Yeshlema, but Rashi meant to say was, the Airi, Peguma. He used a knife with a pegima, he used a saw, a magal that goes up and down, that's the same as pegimas, that's no good. So Taisa doesn't like that either. Taisa thinks that if you shecht with a saken peguma, it's not called shechita either. It's not called shechita either. So they quote the interpretation of the Halachas Gedolos. Halachas Gedolos was earlier than Taisa, from the days of the Gaonim. Taisus very often will disagree with the Halachas Gedolos, but they're always afraid to pasken against him, because since he lived, he himself, it's unclear who wrote the Sefer Halachas Gedolos. Some say that it was written by one of the Goinim, by Rabbi Yehudoi Goin, and others say it was written by someone who lived in the days of the Goinim, who himself was not from the Goinim. The Goinim, he knew how to learn, he was a Goin of learning, but the name of the yeshiva was officially Goin Yankov. So the president of the yeshiva was called Rosh Yeshiva's Goin Yankov. So Bekitzer, they called them the Goin. But it doesn't mean today a Goin means a great Talmid Chacham. In the days of the Goin, it meant who was the head of the yeshiva, who had the responsibility to raise the money for the yeshiva. So some of them were very learned, and some of them were presidents of yeshivas. Not so learned. So whoever it was, this Halachas Gedolos was a very learned individual. He clearly lived in the days of the Goin. So that's what Taisus is always afraid to argue with the Halachas Gedolos, called Vavdiv Kabbalah. We don't want to fight with. So the quote, the Halachas Gedolos says over here, Iker means the following. The Kona and the Veshet are attached on the top somewhere, wherever they're supposed to be attached, and attached on the bottom. The Kona is attached to the lungs, and the Veshet is attached to the stomach. Okay. So if it's detached on the top, but detached on the bottom, where it's supposed to be attached, and then you shecht it, so that's called ikur. If it's nekar b'mkom, and then you shecht it, so that's a psul shechita. So Tosfos doesn't understand. If it's detached, that's a treifa. That, what does it have to do with the shechita? If you, instead of fiddling back and forth, you place pressure and you push down, he did a shechita b'psul. If you pause in the middle, his pants fell down and he picks it up, the jacket fell down, and he pauses for 15 minutes, he davens mincha in the middle of the shechita, and then he finishes, so that's, he did shechita. But he did the shechita b'psul. But here, he did a perfect shechita, but the kon and the veshet are detached on top. So if you want to say it's no good, so say it's a trefa, the animal is a trefa, but why do you call it an avela? If you didn't do the shechita properly, it's an avela. So Tosfos says, you see a chiddush that halachas gedolos, Rashi doesn't agree with halachas gedolos and ikur. Rashi holds if the kon or the veshet is detached from on top where it's supposed to be attached, the animal is a trefa. Has nothing to do with the shechita. It's not a nevela. It's a trefa. So shechita doesn't work fully. A trefa, normally when an animal dies, it's a nevela. It's also bachilin has tumas nevela. But if you have an animal that's a trefa and you shechted it perfectly, so it won't be metami tumas nevela, but it's also bachila. It'll be also bachila. If you shecht the trefa, it'll be also bachila, but it won't be metami. So here there's a machlekes Rashi in the halachas holds that if the animal has the windpipe or the food pipe is detached from where it's supposed to be attached on top, it will not be a trefa. When you'll shecht it, it'll become an avail. It'll be a psul shchit, it'll be an avail. But it's not a trefa. And Rashi holds, no, that's a trefa. Has nothing to do with hilchot shchit. That'll be a trefa. That's, I have an animal where I know the kana de veshet is detached, and I'm milking the cow. It's living, it's still living, it didn't die yet. And I'm taking out the milk. So will the milk be hayotzim in ha'osr? So if you have an animal which is a trefa and it's producing milk, so hayotzim in ha'tomei-tomei, let's say if you have a non-kosher animal that gives off milk, if you have a pig gives off milk, so the milk of a pig is osr, the eggs of an ostrich are osr. That's the Gemara has later in Chulam, Bas Hayana. Bas Hayana refers to the Beitza Saif Tomei, the eggs that are laid by the ostrich or any non-kosher bird. So not only is there a din, the milk from a pig is osir, the milk from a cow, if the cow is known to be a trefa, so also the milk is osir. But let's say you have an animal where the kana devashet is detached on top. So the halach gdolus holds that's not a trefa. When you'll shecht it, it'll be an avela. It'll be a psula in the shechita. But as it's walking around now, it's not a trefa. So the milk from such an animal will be mutter. And Rashi disagrees. Rashi will hold, no, that's a trefa. If it's detached from the place, it's like a broken leg. If you have a broken leg in the right place, it'll make the whole animal into a trefa. Yeah, so this one is not listed. So that's the machlekes. But there are dinim, there are toseftis, where it says beferis, that if it's detached and you shecht it, you're not allowed to eat it. So that's the shot. You're not allowed to eat it. It's an avelin, it's metame. Oh no, it's a trefa. You're not allowed to eat it because it's a trefa. The Mishnah doesn't have all of them. There is 70. The Gemara adds on more to the Mishnah. And there are Tanoim add on more to the Mishnah. Mishnah is not a full list. That is good. Mishnah is not. So it's really a double machlekes over here. Rashi holds ikur means if he shecht with a sak and peguma. He shecht with a sak and peguma. That's a new din hilchos shechita. That it's an avela, and the halachas gedolos probably doesn't agree with Rashi, like Taisa said, he didn't do shechita. If you ate shecht with a sakin that has pegimus, that has nicks in it, or it goes up and down like a saw, that's not called shechita, that's called ripping. That's called ripping the neck of the animal. It's like breaking with your hand. The halach is not called shechita, so that's one machlekes. Rashi and the Baal halachas gedolos, if you shech with a sak and pegum, Rashi holds it's a shechita bipsul, it's a psul and shechita, and the halos says you didn't even do a shechita. Then there's another machlokes, if you have a simon that's okur, the kana or the veshit, that what we call the two simonim, the food pipe and the windpipe, if they're detached, one or the other is detached from where it should be, so the halos says it's not a trefa, as it's walking around it's not a trefa, the milk will be mutter. If you'll shech it, then it'll be an avela. Shechita can't be chal on a simon okur. And Rashi probably disagrees. Rashi probably holds that it is a trefa. So in Shulchan Aruch, the Shach quotes an afkemina la'alocha between Rashi and la'alocha's gedolos that goes like this. There's a gemara later in the next parak. What's the din? How much of the kana and the veshet do you have to shech? So the Mishnah, beginning of the second parak, on the first daf in the second parak says, daf chav zayin amid aleph. You have a knife, and you cut roiv kana, and roiv eshet, that's enough. Lichat chili she really shecht kol ha-kana v'kol ha-veshet. You shouldn't really rely on rubik kukuloi. Like we said on Pesach night, the Bach says you should really drink arba kois as the entire kois. And if you're lazy, so if you drank roiv kois, b'di'evet yoyotze, but really you shouldn't rely on rubik kukuloi. So that's Bach is based on this Gemara, that the Gemara comments on Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, on that Mishnah, the chatchila more correct is when you shecht behemah, you should shecht kol ha-kana, kol ha-veshet. And b'di'evet, ha-shechet, b'di'evet, roiv kana, roiv veshet, that would be sufficient. So let's say he takes a sharp knife and he shechts roiv ha-kana, roiv ha-veshet, and he puts down the knife and he davens mincha mayra. Then he picks the knife up again, the animal is still alive, picks up the knife, and he continues to cut the miyut simanim. And it was a shiah of a half an hour in between. There was a long shiah in between. So the shiah pasal b'miyut basra. That's called shiah b'miyut basra. The animal is kosher already. He can put a label on it. Nishkat kedin b'hashgachas moshe abeinu. Whatever. Any rabbi would give you an endorsement. That's a perfect shechita. He shechted the roif kan and the roif veshet, so the shechita is finished. But then he pauses a half an hour, then he picks up the knife and he continues to shech the miyut basra. So if the pshat and shia is that the first half and the second half are not mitzvah from yachad, you don't need it to be mitzvah from yachad. I already shechted the roif kan and the roif veshet before. Let's say I finished the whole Megillah and I wait an hour. I could have read the whole Megillah in an hour. And then I read over the last pasuk again a second time. So that's a psul in Shoka de Lik Maskula. He finished the whole Mikra Megillah already. What do I care? If he waits an hour and then he says again the last pasuk. So if he finished the whole Shechita and then he waits an hour and then he shechts some more, the Shechita is already finished. What do you mean he shechts some more? So the Gemara has a suffix. Rashi interprets that that's Gemara's suffix. And because it's a suffix, so we go to Chumr. So a suffix the rise of the Chumr. So Rashi learns that's an Ibaya in the Gemara. An Ibaya the Leif Shita. Shochad Roiv Simonim. He shechted kedin the roiv hakon and the roiv aveshet, and he pauses for a half an hour, and then he shechts miyot simon, he shechts the miyot basra. So, according to Rashi, we're machmar on that. That's a sfeik of the rice of the chumah. So, would you say the same? Let's say he shechts the roiv kon and the roiv aveshet with a good knife, and then he takes a sak and peguma and he shechts the miyot basra. Let's say he shechts roiv kon and roiv aveshet, and then he takes his hands and he breaks the rest of the neck. Is that called the ikur? Rashi says, if you shecht the konen, you break the veshet. No, he never shechted the veshet. What if he shecht the roiv kon or roiv veshet? Then he takes his hands and he breaks the rest of the neck. That's not a psul b'miyat basra. He didn't do a shechita on it. So what if he'll do? He shechts roiv kon or roiv veshet, and then he takes a sak and peguma, and he shechts the miyat basra of the kon or the veshet. So the shach has a machlokes achreinim about that. So Rav Soloveitchik always used to say, Rav Yosef Engel has this in his sefer also, that it depends on these two opinions in Tosfos. The Rashi learns, when you shecht with sak and peguma, that's a shechita b'psul. It is a shechita and it's a shechita b'psul. So according to Rashi, if you do shechita b'miyot basra b'sak and peguma, that'll be a psul. But Tosfos laughs at the Rashi. Tosfos says, you shecht with the sak and peguma, that's like ripping the neck. That's not called a shechita at all. So if you use a sak and peguma for the miyot basra, it wouldn't be able to pasul. You finished the shechita already, and you don't need the miyot basra. And using a sak and peguma is like breaking with your hands. That won't be a psul by miyot basra. Anyway, so again, so Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Rav Yehuda quotes the name of Shmuel. The shechet has to know hilcha shechita, and if he does not hilcha shechita, he's not allowed to eat the flesh. And which are the chomish hilcha shechita? The Gemara says later that it's all halacha marashim esina. Fake Gemara, my kamashmala. What did he discover in America? What is the chiddush of Shmuel? That the rachamim shilcha shechita? Is that what he's telling me? The Gemara says, kula teninu. They all appear in the Mishnah. Shehiya, drasa, and Rashi quotes every Mishnah. For shehiya, drasa, chala, dar gomra v'ika. And for the Gemara, nay, the chiddush is the first half, not the second half. Which are the rachamim shilcha shechita? That's a Mishnah. Chiddush is the first half. This guy has been doing shechita for years. We watch him every time he does a perfect job. There are always rabbanim watching. But when we fahar him, he does know the first thing about hilcha shechita. He does know halacha. He just knows what. He knows the technique. And he shechted many times in front of us. And every time it was perfect. And now he shechted nobody was watching. And he tells us he did exactly the same as he did for the last 25 years. He always does. But he doesn't know hilcha shechita. So that's what the Gemara says. That's the chiddush of Shmuel. The first half of what he said, a tabach, a shechit, who does not hilcha shechita, osa lecha mishchitasa. That's the chiddush. What is the chiddush? Latzvicha, sheshocha. The chiddush is, sheshocha, lafanayne beis v'gimel pom. He shechted two or three times in front of us. Let's say 25 years he's been shechting. And every time you watch him, and it's perfect. V'shocha tshape. Every time he does a perfect job. And this time nobody was watching. So ma would detain him. One might have said, midiidach shochad shapir, since he shechted so many times properly, two or three times, or 200 times, he shechted properly, hainami shochad shapir. Maybe this one he did also good. And we asked him, how do you do? He said, the same as I always do. Kamash malan, kibin deloy gomar. If he doesn't know the dinim, he may not even realize. The Gemara has a klal, a psychological klal in Shavuos. Milsa de la rami alei dinish lava daita. If you don't know what you're looking for, you won't be able to find it. My wife always asks me to find something for her. I don't know what it's supposed to look like. She comes, she'll find it in a half a second. She knows, big, tall, short, blue, green. She knows, I don't know what I'm looking for. How can you find it? So the Gemara says, Milsa de la rami alei dinish. If you don't know, let's say they'll ask me, is there a Shulchan Aruch here in the bookcase? I'm here every week for so many years. I don't know if this, I never looked to see if the Shulchan Aruch. It's not so obvious. So the Gemara says over here, if the Sheikh doesn't know Hilcha Shechita, he just did this job. He always does a wonderful job, but he always has people watching. Then this time he shechted and nobody was watching. He says, I did the way I always do. He was wearing a different suit today when he shechted. He was using a different knife. What do you mean, did exactly the same? He thinks that it's exactly the same. If he doesn't know Hilcha Shechita, he may be mistaken. It may be that it's not the same. He's a religious guy. He's not going to give us nevelas, but he doesn't even know that he made a nevela. He may not even realize. That's the klal. Milsa de la rami alei dinish la vadait. He may not even realize that he made it in a veil. So that's what the Gemara says. Zimnen de shohi de doris. Zimnen, sometimes he'll do a shahir, and he'll do a drasa veloyada. He won't even realize that he made it in a veil, that you're not allowed to eat it. You see, if he did a hagroma, if he shecht it too high or too low, so we're going to look at the neck of the animal, we'll see it's no good. Or if he did a chalode, we'll see that it's a chalode. But the shehi and drasa are the psulim that you can't identify. There's no way to know where they did the shehi and drasa. So if he does know the hilcha shechita, so he can't rely. So then it says in Shulchan Aruch, we'll have to learn some more Gemara. Okay.
Right.
Yeah, same over here. If he doesn't realize, he doesn't know Hilcha Shechita, he doesn't realize that there's a difference with drasa, without drasa, or with shia, without shia. So he'll say, I did exactly the same as last time. He doesn't even realize that he did differently. Same thing. The Gemara has it about Milsa de la Ramele Dinish Lavadai. The Gemara says, I say, you owe me $1,000. You say, you paid me back the money. So I'm going to say, well, when did you pay me back the money? So you say, yesterday morning. We're outside, and it was raining. It wasn't raining. He says, I don't think it was raining. And it was raining. So he wasn't paying attention. He's not mechuyif to pay attention. It was irrelevant. Whether it was raining, it's irrelevant. So the Gemara says, whenever the person says something that's not relevant to the issue, they may have forgotten. He doesn't pay attention to all the details. When the person thinks that it's not relevant, he doesn't pay attention. Yeah, the Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel, Rabbi Yehuda was a top. He says over another thing in the name Mishmuel that's relevant to Hilcha Shechita. HaTabach, the Shechit, after he finishes the Shechita, Tzoch Sheyivdak B'Simonim La'ach HaShechita. After he completes Shechting the Rav HaKon and the Rav HaBeshek, he has to check, put down the knife, and check to make sure that you really cut 51% of the Kona, 51% of the Beshek. L'chatchila, the Gemara interprets on Daf Chazayin, supposed to Shecht Kol HaKona, we call Abeshe, but the B'dievet, if you only shecht the Rav HaKon, Rav HaBeshe, so you got to check to make sure that you really did Rav. Is it really 51%? That's the Gemara. Tabach Tzach Sheyivdak B'Simon La'achar HaShechit. He has to check to make sure that he did Rav. Omer Rav Yosef, Afanan La'mitinina. This word of Shmuel is an off in the Mishnah. What does it say in the Mishnah? So it says, L'kamon Lamed Beis Amad Aleph. The Mishnah there is talking about the Psul Shehiyah. The Shechet Shechts the Kona. And then he goes to Dab Meirev, then he comes back and he shechts a veshet. So he paused in between. So then the Mishnah gives another example. He's in the middle of shechting, and his pants fell down. His jacket fell off. His abakamp, his yarmulke fell off, whatever. So he pauses in the middle of the shechita to put his clothes back on. And so there's a discussion, how long of a pause do you need that it should constitute shehiyah? So one Tana says, shok de ligma skula. The same as by davening, same as by kriyas hamegillah. Same as by duchening. Was the pause long enough to shecht from the beginning to the end? That's also a discussion. What do you mean to shecht from the beginning to the end? Okay. How much do you have to... The raiva, the kol? Also a question, how much? Okay. So the Mishnah says, Rav Shimon Aimer, how long does he have to pause? I'm sure if the Shechet paused in the middle of the Shechita, long enough, Kedei Bikur, long enough to check. To check what? If he paused in the middle of the Shechita, long enough to check. My love, so Rav Yosef says, we don't need Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Rav Yehuda is telling me he discovers America, he quotes in the name of his Rabbi Shmuel, he heard from Shmuel, after the Shechet finishes shechting the Kohen and the Veshet, he has to check to make sure that he shechted, that he cut Roy Vasimanim. So he says, we don't need Shmuel, that's a Mishnah. Rav Shimon offers his opinion, what's the Shir Shia? How long a pause do you have to have? So he says, M'shor k'dei bikur, my lav pasha pshat and Rav Shimon k'dei bikur simanim, the amount of time that it would take to check the Kohen and the Veshet. So Amalei Abai, Abai was a Talmud Rav Yosef, and a lot of times he often disagrees with Rav Yosef. A lot of times when Rav Yosef was old, he took sick and he forgot a lot of his learning. So Abai will remind him of what he said. And even when Rav Yosef was younger and healthier, Abai was in the practice of dinging the chalat very often in the Gemara. Rav Yosef made a suggestion and Abai slugs him up. Abai disagrees. He was a sharp Talmud. Amalei Abai. So Abai says, Loi, I don't think that pshat is correct. When Rav Shimon, it doesn't fit into the Mishnah. He shechted the kana, and then he pauses the amount of time that it would take to check the kana, to see if he shechted. He shechts the kana, then he pauses to see if he shechted 51%. Then he's going to shech the veshet, and then check to see if he shechted 51%. That's what it means. He paused in between the kana and the veshet to check to see kadei bikur, whether he shechted 51%. So he says, Loi, I don't think that's pshat kadei bikur. Rabbi Yechanan lived in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yechanan was the first generation of Amoraim. He was a contemporary by Rabbi Yehuda Anasi when they learned by Rabbi Anasi. Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yechanan were all there at the same time. With Rabbi Chia, they were all there. So he says, you're telling me that there's a Beferish in Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon talks about Kedei Bikur, checking the Ashech the Dekonis. I'm going to check to make sure Ashech right. No, Rabbi Yechanan says it doesn't mean checking the Dekonis to see Rabbi. Kedei bikur chacham means the amount of time that Rav Shimon meant to say, if you pause in the middle of the shechita, the amount of time that it would take, there's a mitzvah mishum kvaru shal chacham. A shochet has to check the knife to make sure that it's very sharp and that it doesn't have any pegimus on the bottom. So mikir adin edechad evin bisur. The shochet knows what he's doing. He checks the knife. So the gemara says mishum kvaru shal chacham. The din requires you have to bring it to the local Orthodox rabbi, if there's only one rabbi in town, and you show it to him, and he should approve it. He should approve it. So Rabbi Yechanan says, that's what the Mishnah means. Rabbi Shimon says, if the shechet shechts the kana, and he pauses long enough to bring the knife to the local rabbi, to have the rabbi check it, and then come back. So the Gemara says, that's pshat in the Mishnah. The Bechlam doesn't make any sense. It depends where the rabbi lives. He's shechting in the slaughterhouse, so he's shechting in your backyard. So if the rabbi lives 20 minutes away, so 20 minutes there, 20 minutes back, so the shear is 40 minutes. If the rabbi lives next door, so it takes 3 minutes. So it says, Nasata devarecha la shiurim. Im kein, if that's what it means, kedei bika chocham, the amount of time Rabbi Shimon claims the shear shahia, if you pause in between shecht and kohen and the veshet, today biko chacham, the amount of time it takes to go to the rabbi and show him the knife, and kein asata devarecha la shiurim, every shechita is going to be different depending on how close, how far away from the rabbi's home you are. That can't be what he meant. El kedei biko taba chacham. It doesn't mean the amount of time. It doesn't mean the shechet is not the local rabbi, and the shechet has to bring the knife to the local rabbi to show him and then bring it back. No, it means if the shechet is the rabbi. The amount of time that it takes, if the shechet is a Talmid Chacham, the amount of time that it would take to check the knife, it would take a minute and a half, whatever, to check properly. That's the shear of Rav Shimon. So Abayi Taina is that Rav Yosef said, isn't that what it says in the Mishnah? He shechts the kana and then he checks the kana. So that's the shear. Shear. So he says, no, Rav Yochanan said the Mishnah, Rav Shimon in the Mishnah on Daf Lama Beis, doesn't mean Kadesh Biker Chacham, Kadei Biker Simanim. The amount of time that it would take to check to see if you shechted right means kedei bikur chacham. If the tabach is a chacham, how long would it take him to check the knife, not to check this? So you really don't have a mishnah. What is he arguing over here? Isn't Shmuel right? Amr Yudim Shmuel, he says, if you shecht the roiv kana roiv eshet, shouldn't you have to look at it to make sure that you shecht at 51%? Unless you shecht the kala kana v'kala eshet. Shecht the whole thing so there's nothing to check. But let's say he only shechted roiv. So shouldn't you have to check? So Tosis points that, no, mi'ikir adin, the little Tosis said, asura b'achilo. So Tosis says, we have a ruba de leisa kama, rok pamim shechet shapir. The guy is an expert shechet, so most of the time, he really does a good job. He knows that. So mi'ikir adin there, I say, he really doesn't have to check every single time he shechts an animal to check to make sure that he shechted 51% of the kana and 51% of the veshet. We know that it's so. The whole thing is only a chumra midirabbanim. But that's why Rav Yosef said, what do you need Amar Rabbi Yudah Amar Shmuel? Isn't it a beferish and mishnah? And Abai taxim, it's not a beferish and mishnah, and you don't really have any proof for what Shmuel said. It could be that he's wrong. Who says that you have to check to make sure that you shechted roiv kana roiv veshet? Maybe you rely on this ruba d'leisa kaman, the rov pamim, shechet shapir. Most of the time he's been a shechet for many years, and he has a feel of what he's doing. So the ruba, he shechts properly. So that's a question. What's the din? So it's a chumra. Tosis claims it's a chumra midirabbanim, that after you shecht the roiv kana, the roiv esh, you have to check to look at the simanim to make sure that you actually shechted roiv kana, roiv esh. So then the Gemara asks, and what would be the din loy badak mai? Let's say he shechts, and then he didn't have a chance to look to make sure that he shechted, and the workers in the slaughterhouse already cut up the animal, a little piece, they salted it, and now it's already too late. And now it's not shocked to look to see if he really shechted the right kind of ravation. They shipped off the neck, it's somewhere else, it's floating around, it's in Alaska. There's no way to check. So what's a din b'di'evit? Tosfos says the whole discussion is only midi rabbanan. The Natori really have a right to rely. Roy Parmin Shechet Shapir. Ruba de Ruba, he does a good job. He's been in the line of Shechita for many years. So how far do you go with the Chumra Midirabbanan? So that's a machlokes. Loy Badak Mai, how far does the Chumra Midirabbanan go? So Rabbi Lezer ben Antigonus says in the name of Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yanai Amar, Trefa Basura Bachila. The din is if you shecht an animal that has a broken leg or has a sirch on the lungs or has a punctured b'nei meyayim or something like that. So the shechita is mitar midei nevel. If an animal dies, it never had a proper shechita. So it's number one, osa b'achila, there's an isa nevel. And number two, it's mitame, tumis nevel. What if you shecht a trefa? So trefa is a din, it's osa b'achila, but the shechita is chal, mitar midei nevel. So here the shaila is, you did a shechita on the animal, but you didn't check. You think you did a perfect shechita, but you never checked to make sure that you have roif kan and roif eshet. But roif pamim shechet shapim, most of the time you do a good job. So midirabbanan, they introduce the chumra, you got to check to make sure. So how far do they go with the chumra? So the first opinion in the Gemara is, it's osa b'achila, but it's not mitameh. The chumra midirabbanan didn't go so far to declare that the flesh is going to have tumas nevel. It's bad enough that it's enough of a chumra that we say that it's asa b'achila against the roiv. Menator, you have a roiv. The roiv pamim shechet shapir. So it's a chumra midirabbanan. So genuk maspik if you machma that you're not allowed to eat it, but it's not mitame. And b'masnita tana, and there's a braisa that disagrees and says, no, the chumra midirabbanan goes so far, it's even mitame tumas neveilus. B'masnita tana, the braisa says, neveilu mitame b'masa, it's even mitame. There are three different levels of tumah. Let's say the Chumash has what we refer to as the Shmoneh Shratzim Ha'amurim Batorah. The Chumash lists off the 10 dead rodents that when they're dead, they're metame, a mouse. If you touch a dead mouse, so it's metame. So let's say the mouse is dead in the mousetrap. It's dead in the mousetrap, but you don't pick up the mouse. You pick up the mousetrap. Then you throw it in the garbage. So you didn't do maga. I didn't touch the dead mouse. I did masa. I moved it from one place to the other. So the Shmoneh Shratzim are metamim b'moisim only b'maga, not metamim b'masa. If you're wearing gloves and then you pick it up with the mouse itself, also there's no maga. So Shmoneh Shratzim are only metamim b'maga, not metamim b'masa. If you have nevela meat in the A&P that never had any good shechita, so if a behema v'chaya dies, it's metamim b'maga u'b'masa. And if it's behema v'chaya, it's metamim b'maga u'b'masa. Even though it's wrapped up, you know you're wearing gloves, and there's no maga, but there's still masa. If you push it on the table, it's already masa, like that. Then if you have a dead human being, a mace adam, behemah dies, it's called a nevela. And a person dies, you don't call him a nevela, you call him a mace. You call him a mace. So if it's a mace adam, so it's not only mitami b'mago or b'masa, it's even mitami b'ohel. If I'm sitting over here and the mace is over there and we're both under the same roof, so it's even to masoha. So that's what the Gemara says. But here there's a machlekes. The whole thing, Tosis claims, the whole thing is only a chumrim midirabanan that you have to check the kon and the veshet to make sure that you have 51% cut. Because minator, you really should have the right to rely on the roiv. The Roy Pamim, Sheikh Ed Shapir, probably did a good job. He always checks properly. So how far did they go with the Chumar and the Rabbanah? Did they go all the way to say that it's even Metame B'masa, like a real Nevela? Or they only said a Chumar halfway? It's also Bachil. So the Gemara says, what's the Nekudas HaMachlekes? What's the issue? B'mai Komim Feligi? So the Gemara bid the Rav Huna. The Omar Rav Huna, Rav Huna has a famous memory. It's quoted in Beitza and other Mesichtas also. I don't know, Beitz and Shavuos, and other Masechtas, it's called. Om Rav Huna, Behema B'chayeho, a live animal, is B'cheskas Iser and Medes. If I'm not sure, I shecht an animal, and I'm not sure that I did a good job in the Shechita. So what's the din? So he says, Sveika deraisa lechumre misofek. You're not allowed to eat. It's a sofek, but you did a good job. If you did a good job in Shechita, it's mutabachil. If you didn't do a good job, it's an Iser Nevela. So if you eat it, you'll get malchus or you won't get malchus. Sofik the rice of the chumah, you don't get malchus. It's also misofik. So Rav Huna says, no, it's a vada yisa, it's not a sofik. Because there's a cheskas yisa. The animal, while it's alive, is bevada yasa. So if you have a sofik, whether you did a proper shchita, say, shtel av cheskas yisa, so you say, behemah b'chaya, the cheskas yisa meres, hashivor alach maman nishchato, unless you know bevada is, that is properly geshachta. What if nishchata? What if you know that you did shechta properly, but there's a suffix, maybe it's a trefa. You're not sure about that. Nishchata, then harei b'cheskasata, sheyivor alach b'men nitrofa. If you're not sure whether the animal is a trefa, then you go basaroy. Roy behemus aksheris. Roy behemus are not trefas. So that's the famous memory of Rav Huna. That's a big question. What does that mean? Behema b'chayeha, an animal that's walking around, a live animal, is b'cheskas isa. What cheskas isa? What has an isa nevela? Right. It's walking around. It's not a nevela. You have a suffix. Now the animal is dead. And you are not sure whether you did a proper act of shechita. So suffix deraisa l'chumra. So don't eat it. But if you ate it, how can you give a malchus? Only a suffix. You don't give malchus of a suffix. So Rav Huna says, no, it's a vadai. It's not a suffix. Yishtalef the chazaka behema b'chaya b'cheskas. What do you mean? It's a suffix if it's a nevela. While it was alive, it was a nevela. And when you shecht the Yerima, it didn't have a din nevela while it's alive. So what is he talking about? So Rashi always says, while it's alive, it's an eva menachayim. The animal, while it's alive, is an eva menachayim. So Tosfos says it's not true. In the end of Perek Gid Anoshe, later on, we started from the eighth Perek, Kol Abrasa. So the Perek right before that is Gid Anoshe. So the last daf from Gid Anoshe, there's a machlekes Rabbi Yochanan and a Reish Lakish. Whether you say behema b'chayeha loivorim emedes, an animal that's walking around and all the limbs are attached, it's a walking eiv menachai. Every limb is an eiv menachai. Or do you say no? We don't. That's Reish Lakish holds like that. Whenever there are many disputes, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish was a student of Rabbi Yochanan. Moshe Reish Lakish first a gangster, and then he was chayzer b'tshuva, and then he married Rabbi Yochanan's sister, and they lived. They got along, and he was a student of Rabbi Yochanan. So whenever Reish Lakish disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan, the Ruba of the cases, we pass like Rabbi Yochanan, because he knew more. He was the Rebbe of Reish Lakish, and the Gemara says in Yevamos, there are only three of the many machlekes and where we pass like Reish Lakish. This is not one of the three. So Reish Lakish holds like that. An animal that's walking around is a bundle of eiv menachais. And we pass like Rabbi Yochanan. Behema b'chaya lav levar memenis. When you break off a finger, that's an eiv menachai. When you break off a leg from a live animal, then it becomes an eivim achai. Kol zman, you didn't detach it. It's an ishken eivim achai. So Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. Rashi in several Masechtos writes, Pshat and Rav Huna, behema b'chaya b'cheskas iser, that every animal is an eivim achai. So Tosfos says, shaloi kedin. We don't paskin like that. Then Tosfos asked another kasha. But now the animal is dead. I did a shechita, and I'm not sure I did a good job on doing the shechita. So now it's not a sofik eiv menachai. It's not an eiv menachai now. The animal is dead now. Now the suffix is it a nevela? Is it not a nevela? So because it was an eva and achai while it was alive, even aniach, like Rashi quotes Rish Lakish, because it was a vaday isa eva and achai while it was alive, but now it's not an eva and achai. Now for sure it's not, it's dead now. So now it's a suffix, is it a nevela? So what does the cheskas eva and achai have to do with nevela? It's not an eva and achai now, it was never a nevela, and now for sure it's not an eva and achai. So what's the hemshech? So Rashi has a chiddush, machzikim meyisr leyisr. While the animal was alive until 5 minutes ago, the animal was usr. For whatever reason, Rashi claims ev menachai. Okay, it was usr. And now it's a suffik. Did it become mutter? Did it not become mutter? It's not a suffik, is it? It's still an ev menachai. It's for sure not an ev menachai. And for sure it never was an avela. But still, until now it was usr. Now it's a suffik. Is it still usr for a different reason? Or is it mutter? So yishtel av cheskasisim, that's called machzikim meyisr leyisr. It was usa for one reason, and I'm not sure whether it's still usa for a different reason. So we say it's still usa. Kula chiddush. Rashi is kula chiddush. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. They say it's not an eiv menachai because we don't paskin like Rish Lakish. We paskin like Rabbi Yechon. Behem and b'chayah lavli avarimet. Doesn't become an eiv menachai till you detach an organ from the animal. But it's becheskas iser eino zvucha. There's an iser asay. It says in the Chumash, v'zavachta v'yachalta, v'zavachta kashetzi v'sicha v'yachalta. If you want to eat flesh, it says in the Chumash, kozman, they were in the Midbar, so the whole Jewish community was together. So if somebody wanted flesh, they'll bring a carbon in the Nishkan and they'll eat the Shlomit. And then, v'haya, when the Baruch Shlomo will bring in Teretz Yisrael, ki'irchak mimcha amokam, they live far away from the Beis HaMikdash, and it'll be too far to expect that people, they should bring a carbon Shlomim to the Beis HaMikdash. So if you live far away, v'zavachta kashetzi v'sicha. So shechta behem aschulin, and needed gizuntahei. So the Tosfos claims the mashmois of the pasuk is, v'zavachta kashetzi v'sicha. You can only eat zvucha. You're not allowed to eat eina zvucha. So behem b'chayah is becheskas iser eina zvucha. So then Tosfos raises an objection against the Romshad. Ve'zuk that there's an iser asei here. If you want to eat it, you don't. If it drops dead, it'll be an avela. So maybe the pasuk just means you should shecht it. If you're going to wait till it dies naturally, if someone else will shoot it, a goy will come and kill it, it'll be an avela. So v'zavachta, make sure it shouldn't turn into an avela. V'ezokt, who says over here that the mashmoy says that there's an iser asay that you're not allowed to eat? Let's say there's a chumash you have to like tefillin. So there's an iser asay. If you didn't like tefillin, you violate an avera. There's no avera. If you like tefillin, you did a mitzvah. If you didn't like tefillin, you didn't do a mitzvah. That's the fafelt a mitzvah. Not every pasuk where you have a mitzvah saseh, there are 248 mitzvah saseh. So every time you have a mitzvah saseh, it has the implication that if you don't do it, you're doing an aver. You're not doing an aver. There's a list of averes, then there's a list of mitzvahs. So that's Tosfos has a chiddush. V'zavachta kashetzi v'sicha is an iser aseh. The Pashtus says Rashi didn't agree with Tosfos says the Pashtus and Rashi is, he doesn't agree with them. He holds that there is no such thing as an iser asei v'ein azvuch. And Tosfos disagrees with Rashi on a few counts. Tosfos holds, if you're talking about Eva, Tosfos holds it can't be Eva Menachai because we don't paskin like that opinion. We paskin the Eva B'chaya, Lav Levar Menes. Doesn't become an Eva Menachai until you break off the limb. And then they argue, and even if Rashi would have been right in quoting Rish Lakish's opinion, how is that machzikim me'iser le'iser? Mechayim, the Rav Huna says, Mechayim, while the animal was alive, had an Iser, Eid Menachai. Now it's dead. Now for sure it's no longer Eid Menachai. Now it's an Iser question, but it's an Iser Nevela. So just because it has a Cheskas Eid Menachai, so you carry over to Nevela. So Rashi apparently holds, yes, Machzikim Yisr L'Yisr. And Tosfos doesn't like that. That's a Shaila in Yerideus. Sometimes it comes up, whether we pass Machzikim Yisr L'Yisr or not. So this is the famous Gemara. So the Gemara quotes Rav Huna's Memra. So the Gemara says here, I had an animal and I did a shechita, and I myself am not sure whether I did a good shechita because I never checked to make sure that I shechted Rav Kan and Rav Eshet. So Tosfos throws in their comment. They say there's nothing to be misupik about Rav Pamim Shechet Shapi. You go basa right, but with the Rabbanon they introduced the Chumer. So the machlekes was, how far do you go with the chumah? Do you go all the way? He said, not only is it osa b'achila, if loy bodak b'simonim tzivim etamei b'masa, But he say no, maspik if you machma lachil. The Gemara says, but my comment fligi, but the Rabuna. The Rabuna said, Behema Bachaya, Becheska Sisar Emetis. So the Gemara says, Marsovar, one opinion was Becheska Sisa Kaima Bahashta Mesahi. So if it's dead, it's Matami also. Marsovar, the other one says, no, Becheska Sisa Aminan, Becheska Stuma Laminan. While the animal was alive, it did not Becheska Stuma, just had a Cheska Sisa. So you only carry over the Yisra Achila, you don't carry over any tomb. That's the machlik. See, the pashtus in this line is a famous discussion in the Shev Shmaitze. Shev Shmaitze is a sefer by the author of the Ktzos HaChoshen. Ktzos HaChoshen is a commentary on the Choshen Nishpot. So the Ktzos HaChoshen, when he was 17 years old, he wrote this fantastic sefer, Shev Shmaitze, seven long essays, when he runs through all of Shas, about Roiv and Chazok and Svek Svek, all the most difficult topics. And many Svarim were written, commentaries on the Shev Shmaitze. So the Shev Shmaitze discusses a tshuva from the Goyne Basroi, from the days of the Shach, they have a shayla, they shechted seven animals, and then they sent 2.5 animals to one community, and they had 5.5 animals in the other community. And then they discovered, and they separated all the meat, and then they find that the lungs of one of the animals has a trephus, and they don't know which animal is the trephus. So let's say they sent 1.5 or 2.5 to one community. So can you say you go basaroy isura beruba isa? The odds are that here you have, what do you say, 4.5 and 1.5. So Mistama the Yisra will be by the 4.5 because there's Reiv over there. So they can eat their 1.5 or their 2.5. They have the right to assume that the treif one is over here. So the 1.5, the half that they have is kosher, and the other half is treif. So can you split on one animal? I know that half and this half are from the same animal. I don't know which animal is the one that had the lungs that were the treifa, but I know that half animal, this half animal are from the same animal. So can you paskin on one half animal that it's a trefa and the other half animal that it's ksheira? He said, you go basarai, so he say the trefus is among Isura Burubi, so the trefus is among the 4.5 over there. So the 1.5 and the 2.5 over there will be mutti. You can split one animal. You can paskin tie to the sastri. So that's what the Shev Shmaitze discusses. Maybe that's the issue over here. Because behema, while it's alive, is not becheskas tuma. It's only becheskas isar achila. But it's tahora. The animal is not tmeya. It's tahora. So now I have a suffix whether it had a good shchita or is a shchitas nevela. So it's a suffix on achila and it's a suffix on tuma. You're going to shtel av cheskas iser that it's also bachila. You're going to shtel av cheskas tahara that it's tahor. So that's a tied to this asre. So do you have the right to rely on chazokas when you know for sure that it doesn't correspond to reality? That's like over there. You're saying half the animal is kosher, half the animal is dreif. Because you go basaroy over there, and you call the parish meruba parish. You have the right to say like that, to split an animal half. There's a long arichas about that. What do you do when you have a tie to the sasri and such? So he relates it to this gemara. Okay. Sefer Vayikra is known as Torah's Kohanim. It has all the dinim of the Kohanim. The Kohanim are supposed to be makar v'ol karbonis in the Beis HaMikdash. All of a sudden, and the Haftorah of this week said it was all about the charge that Yecheskel Anavi is, I think it's from Yecheskel, no? Gives the instructions. Is it from Yecheskel? Yeah. Akadim Alvim, he gives all the instructions to the Kohanim, what they're allowed to do, what they're not allowed to do. He gives you all the dinim, whom they're allowed to marry, they're not allowed to marry. The whole Sefer is Torah's Kohanim. All of a sudden, in the middle of Parsha Samar, you have all the dinim of the Yom Yutayim. How does this come in over here? What do you mean? Tovim ha-meyuchad for the Kohanim? Everybody's equal. So Rav Soloveitchik, every couple of years, they asked him to speak on Yom Ha'atzmaut, the Yom Yerushalayim. So he always used to avoid talking about, he didn't know how to deal with the Medina. So one year, he spoke L'Kavod Yom Yerushalayim. So it was the night before Yom Yerushalayim. So he gave a whole drosha on all the haftaras. And Achimos Kedoshim Amar Bahar B'chukos, he gave a long drosha. had a little bit to do with Yerushalayim, but not really that much to do. So in the middle of the drasha, he was speaking about this. He said, what is the role of the Kohanim? What keeps them busy all year long? So the Kohanim are supposed to be makir karbonis in the Beis HaMikdash. How often are they makir karbonis? So the Kohanim are divided up into 24 mishmaris. So every 25th week, after 24 weeks, his mishmar has a chance again. Every mishmar was divided up into six batei yovis. 1/6 of the group did the hakrovas hakarbonis on Sunday, 1/6 did on Monday, 1/6 did on Tuesday. And on Shabbos, most of them went home. And those who stayed behind, so they all did the avodah. There weren't seven batei yovis, there were six batei yovis, and whoever stayed behind, most of the people went home. They spent Shabbos with their wives and their children. So in Gansen, how much did a kohen do avodah in Beis HaMikdash? 2 days a year. One week on his on this mishmar, 1 day of 1 week on this mishnah, then 24 weeks later, usually they're twice a year, sometimes three times a year. The 52 weeks in the year, let's say, so 24 and 24 is 48, so some of them had a chance to do three. So 3 days a year, so you have to give him all the 24 matans kuna because he's so busy. Makro kabbalah, what does he do the rest of the year? So the Novi Yecheskel says in the Haftarah, they're supposed to be teaching Torah to the public. They're supposed to be learning and supposed to be teaching Torah. In the Chumash, it's a little unclear, but that's what Moshe Rabbeinu says in Mezos HaBrocha. Yoram Mishpatech Le'Yangam, Sayroschel Yisrael. And the Rambam quotes from the Sifrei. It says in Chumash Dvarim that if you have a Shiloh, what the din is, and there's a machlokes in your community, should you go to the Bez Nagorl? And she asked, "Basal Kohanim Alvim, Mashiach Bayamim Hey, go to the Kohanim Alvim. What do you mean Kohanim Alvim?" So the Rambam quotes from the Sifrei, if you have a choice of appointing one Talmid Chacham or another to serve as a member of the Bezin, so preferable is to choose Kohanim Alvim. Because that's their role, that's their function. They're supposed to be Paschal and Shilas. They're supposed to be learning on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael. So when do they do their teaching? Yoram Mishpedachli. When do they do the teaching? People are busy all year long. They're busy making a parnasa. So on Shabbos and Yontif, the people have off. So just like the Rabbanim today, the Rabbanim give drushes and they give a lot of shiurim on Shabbos and Yontif. So that was the job of the Kohanim, to give all of their shiurim as much as possible on Shabbos and Yontif. So Rabbi Soloveitchik thought that's why in Parsha Samor they have all the dinim of the Yomim Tovim. It has to do with the Rabbanim, it has to do with the Kohanim or the Rabbanim. So they used to give all their main avodah was on Shabbos and Yontif. It's interesting. It's interesting. The rest of the drasha is very fascinating, very poetic. It was given in Yiddish, and it was translated into Hebrew, but it's a very poetic, beautiful. It's entitled Bein Pesach La'atzeres. So it's a very nice drasha. Just one point in halacha. We always refer to Pesach as the Yantav of Pesach. So you look in Chumash, what we call Pesach is called Chag HaMatzos. And Chumash Pesach is Erev Pesach after Chatzos. So on Shulchan Aruch, there are more paskins like in Oz Arua, there's a machlek, there's a Rishen. Let's say Rachmana Litzlan, someone's in the middle of Shiva, comes Yantav. So Yantav cancels Shiva. Someone's in the middle of Shloshim, comes Yantav. Yantav cancels the Shloshim. So when it comes Shavuos, when it comes Sukkos, Rosh Hashanah also, we paskin Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, there's a machlek, there's a Satanam, we paskin also cancels Shiva, also cancels Shloshim. What about when it comes Erev Pesach? So there are more paskins like the Oz Arua. When it comes Chatzos of Erev Pesach, that's already. You don't have to wait till Chag HaMatzis comes. When Chag HaPesach comes, Erev Pesach after Chatzos is already the Yontav HaPesach. So it's already Yontav. So you have to stop the Avelis before Chatzos. You don't wait till after Chatzos. That's like waiting till the middle of Yontav. Erev Pesach after Chatzos is already the Yontav. That's what the Vilna Gaon points out. You look in the Parsha Samor, when the Torah is listing off all the Yom Tovim. So the first Yontav that's mentioned is Erev Pesach after Chatzos. It's Pesach. Pesach night is what we call Pesach. It's called Chag HaMatzis. For the first Yontav that has a din of Simcha that cancels Avelis is Erev Pesach after Chatzos. So that's why the Magen Avraham says that even though one rips Kriya, if a relative dies, one rips Kriya and Chalamayit also. You don't rip Kriya and Yanta, but you do rip Kriya and Chalamayit. That's the Mishnah like that. But if one goes to the Kosla Maravi and Chalamayit, you don't rip Kriya. Because Kriya by the Kosla Maravi is a form of Nihu Gavelis. When someone dies, the Gemara says, Avelis Luchud and Kriya Luchud. They're two different things. The ripping Kriya is not a Nihu Gavelis. And the Gemara says, Halach Gedev Ramekel Ba'abel is only in Hilchas Avelis, not in Kriya. Kriya, you don't say like that. Avelis Luchud, and Kriya Luchud. But Kriya and the Kosla Maravi, Kriya and the Makam HaMikdash B'Chabonai, Magen Avraham says that's a form of Nihu Gabelus. All the Mashal Adin is that a cotton, Shehigia Lechinoch, a child is about to become Bar Mitzvah and a relative dies, so we, there's a Machloikis Hagoinim, we paskin, there's no Chinoch and Avelus. But one doesn't observe Chinoch and Avelus. But a Rip in Kriya, there is Chinoch, because Avelus Luchud and Kriya Luchud. If the child is a cotton, Shehigia Lechinoch, yet Rip Kriya, you show him how to Rip Kriya properly, even though he doesn't have to observe Avelus. But if a cotton is a gil achinuch, does he have to rip kriya by the Kosel Amaravi? So the Magen Avraham says no, because ripping kriya by the Kosel Amaravi, that's a form of nihu gavelus, and there's no chinuch and avelus. So Erev Pesach, after Chatzais, we understand you don't rip kriya because ripping by the Kosel Amaravi, because ripping kriya by the Kosel Amaravi is a form of avelus, and the Ramah says you don't show avelus, you don't observe avelus Erev Pesach after Chatzais. So the minig became, by mistake, any Erev Shabbos and any Erev Yontif, after Chatzos, you don't rip Kriya. So the Poskim say it's a mistake. But many people, they don't sit Shiva Erev Shabbos after Chatzos. And Erev Yontif, after, they call it quits already. So I live in Washington Heights. So the rabbi after Rabbi Breuer used to be Rabbi Schwab. So everybody knew he's going to come to be Menachem Olah Friday afternoon after Chatzos. He always would come Friday afternoon and tell Avelim to have to observe Avelis till late in the afternoon. That's a mistake. The Pischi Tshuva and Yeridei writes, that's a mistake. They carried this over from Erev Pesach after Chatzais. You have to stop the Avelis before Chatzais. So they made a mistake. They thought it carries over to every Shabbos and every Erev Yontov. So the same mistake is made by ripping Kriya. You don't rip Kriya by the Kosel Amaravi, Erev Pesach after Chatzais. But Erev Shabbos, the minhag olam is that they don't rip Kriya, but the Poskim says it's really not right. It's not the same. Okay.
Rosh Chodesh.